another insightful and exciting episode of Me and My Health Up. I'm your host, Anthony Harcher. I'm a clinical nutritionist and lifestyle medicine specialist. The purpose of this podcast is to enhance and enlighten your well-being. And today we have a very special guest coming on the show. It's Dr. Alan Leiker, and he is a cosmetic dermatologist. He's more than that. He's a keynote speaker on motivation because of his story, his backstory of how he overcome a terminal illness, and he's endured through hardship, and he's really inspiring others today because of this journey he's been on. So he's going to impart wisdom with us today in this episode on how to break free of victimhood and go on a path of empowerment, personal empowerment, so that you can thrive. So without much further ado, I'd love to welcome you into the discussion I'm having with Dr. Alan Leiker. Welcome on the Me and My Health Up podcast. How are you, Dr. Alan Leiker?
I am fantastic. What about you, my friend?
I'm doing just the same. I'm doing that really fantastic and awesome. The sun is shining here in Sydney. It's a wonderful day. And where are you joining us from?
I'm joining you from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which is just the other side of the Rocky Mountains up here in the cold north, but it'll be cold for you. But for us, it's a very pleasant day.
What temperature would that be in Celsius?
I think we're currently sitting around 5 degrees. So we'll probably go down to about 10 tonight. But, you know, this time of year is the changing time. We can swing up to 10, 15 degrees and then back again. So just until Easter, we've got this changing season.
Nice. We're also in a state of flux here in Sydney, but really keen to talk about this topic of empowerment and giving the listeners some tips for breaking free of victimhood. But before we get into that, I think it's really important to understand your backstory, how you've arrived at what you're doing today.
Well, you know, my life is, I've been having a magic life all my life. But in 2003, it almost all changed. I was walking with my wife and my youngest daughter in Disneyland. And my wife turned to me and said, "What's wrong with you, hon?" You know, I was taken aback. For once in my life, I hadn't said anything wrong. I had done anything wrong. I hadn't even thunk anything wrong. But she persisted. She kept saying, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Dear, what are you talking about?" She said, "Listen to your foot. It's flapping." I said, "That's the dumbest thing you ever said." Well, she said, "Well, listen to it." And my foot had suddenly and mysteriously developed a right foot drop. It was flapping on the pavement with each step that I was taking. My wife said, "Did you have a stroke?" And I said back, "You're a doctor. I'm a doctor. If I had had a stroke, I'd be lying on the pavement muttering something unimaginable." Well, then she said, "Well, you know, when we get back, you better get it checked out." Well, Tony, when your wife tells you to get it checked out, what do you do?
Get it checked out, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I started with friends that were doctors. They sent me to more doctors and more doctors. And they did brain scans. They did CAT scans. They even did scan scans. And at the end of the day, they found absolutely nothing. They were befuddled. And you know what a doctor does when he finds absolutely nothing?
He says, "I'm not sure, you tell me."
He does tests and more tests and more tests. They did bone marrows. They did LPs. They did EMGs. I think they even invented some tests to do tests back then. But you know, at the end of the day, they found absolutely nothing. So they sent me to a world-leading neurologist, the brain guy, the guy that had the answers to all these complex problems. So I walked in and I said, "Hi." He said, "Hi back. You better be sitting down when I tell you this." I said, "Why? I have a dropped right foot." He said, "No, you don't. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Get your affairs in order. You have 6 months to live." You know, I was taken aback by all that. And I asked him, "Is there a way to prove this diagnosis?" He said, "Of course, on autopsy." I told him, "I'm not going to die to prove you wrong." I left. I slammed the door. And somehow I made it to my car. I cried for hours. Somehow I made it home. I walked in. I told my wife this terrible diagnosis. And she said, "He's wrong. I don't know what you have, but you don't have ALS." But you know, when this happens, you get hit like in the gut by all this. You go through the phases of dying that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote in her book on death and dying. And I was dying. You go through anger. You could bite the head off nails. I was angry at my wife. I was angry at my children. I was angry at my dog. I was angry at my staff, but I couldn't tell them what was wrong or they might abandon me. I went through bargaining. Oh God, please don't let this happen. I'll do anything if you don't let this happen. But I didn't think he was listening back then. And then you go through denial. Denial is when you deny anything is happening. So I'd work 12 or 14 hours a day. I worked hard. And I said, oh, all I've got is a dropped right foot. It'll get better. But it didn't. And it progressed. My right hand became involved. And that was a problem because I was a right-handed surgeon. And I couldn't hold the interim instruments that I used to. So I became a left-handed surgeon. I learned to do everything with my left hand that my right hand could do. And you know, if you repeat anything 10,000 times, you get very good at it. And I became very good at it. But back then, there weren't even the surgical instruments to do the surgery back then. So I invented left-handed scissors. I invented left-handed instruments so I could do things that I needed to do. But you know, at the end of the day, you get very depressed. Have you ever been depressed, Anthony?
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt. Certainly in those teenage years, there was periods there.
Oh yeah. Well, I was very depressed. You know, that's where, those are the dark days. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You'd stare at the ceiling, not doing anything. Why? You're going to die anyhow. So why do anything? I got so depressed. I had a plan to kill myself. And I want to address the listeners out there. If you feel that you're going, you have, everything's black, don't do it. Seek professional help. There are people that love you and care for you. Never give in to that, because in your deepest, darkest hours, there's always hope. And I went to my wife and I said, dear, what do I have? She said, I have no idea, but you're smart. You'll figure it out. I said, dear, I've seen every doctor I know. How can I figure it out? She said, perhaps you haven't seen the right doctor yet. Well, back then in the early 2000s, something new was invented. You might have heard about it, Anthony. It's called the internet. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, right. Well, but back then, you had to get on by dial-on connections. Your phone would get on a cradle, and it would go, for 15 minutes. And if you got to the other side, you could communicate. But you had to communicate by a primitive language called DOS, because there was no memory in computers. There was no Dr. Google. There was no Dr. Yahoo. And you couldn't really get to the other side. So once you got there, you needed somebody to help you. And the internet is much like it is now. It's got the world's best resources, but it's full of garbage cans. And you can't tell the garbage cans from those great resources. But we found a doctor in Colorado Springs, Colorado, by the name of David Martz, who had a story very similar to mine. But he was dying. He got so sick within 2 weeks, he was on his deathbed. And doctors from around the world were coming to say goodbye to David because he was so loved. And a doctor came up from Texas and he looked at David and said, I do not think you have ALS. David said, what do I have? He said, I think you have chronic Lyme's disease, said Dr. Harvey. I think you've been bitten by a tick and it's causing this disease that's mimicking ALS. Well, David whispered, what do I do? Dr. Harvey said, nothing. I'll start you on treatment. And if I'm right, you'll get better. And then a miracle happened. He started on treatment. And like Lazarus, he arose from the dead. And within 2 weeks, he was back to normal. So I knew I had to get in touch with David. So I phoned every hospital in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I met up with him at the Methodist Hospital. And we talked for hours. And he said, can you come down and see me? He said, I said, when? He said, right now. I said, David, it's Thanksgiving in Canada. My wife will kill me. She's invited 35 people over. He said, aren't there any planes in Canada? So I went to my wife, my hat in my hand, and said, dear, I'm not going to be here for Thanksgiving. She said, why? We have 35 people coming over. I said, dear, there's a doctor in Colorado Springs that claims he can help me. She looked at me and said, what are you waiting for? I'll pack your bags for you. I'll drive you to the airport. Come on, you're wasting time. Wives, I don't know if we'll ever understand them, but it's great that they still love us regard. And you know, I got to the airport. I got on a great flight from Edmonton to Denver, 2.5 hours. It was magical. Then I got on a rinky-dink puddle jumper from Edmonton to Colorado Springs. Have you ever been on a rinky-dink puddle jumper?
No, I'm thinking, what is that?
Well, it's a terrible little flight, just maybe 60 people on it. And at the end of the day, the wind comes off the desert and causes eddies. So that's called turbulence. And when what happens is the plane will drop without warning. So it'll be flying along and then drop 100 feet. It'll fight its way up and then drop 200 feet. It'll fly its way up and drop 300 feet. It's like the Tower of Terror at Disneyland over and over and over again. So, you know, I crawled off that plane. Many people puked. Many people were green. I crawled up, and there was David on the tarmac to meet me. So although 9/11 had happened, they hadn't put the high prohibitions down, and so he was there to meet me. We talked for hours, and he said some magic words. He said, Dr. Laika, I think history is repeating itself, and that's why I'm here 20 years after the fact that I was supposed to be dead. But you know, when you live on borrowed time, you change. You realize that life is great. You realize every day is magical. And every day your feet hit the ground, you rejoice and say, it's another day I can make a difference. And today, Anthony, I saw you on my ledger and I said, oh my God, today's another day I can make a difference for people.
What a story. So impactful. And the fact that you never gave up hope. Certainly, you're always looking for an answer or looking for...
But you know, to all of our audience out there, everything might be black. Everything might be terrible. But you know, the harder the fall, the bigger the bounce. You know, it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens. Remember that. Those are key words for everybody. Now, if you're given lemons, make lemonade. You know, everything is good if you look at it that way. Change your mindset. Look at the world with rose-colored glasses. Look at the world in such a way that it's positive. You know, see, the problem is, Anthony, we all have a lizard brain. And that lizard brain is deep down inside of us. Everybody has it. It's millions of years old. That's the brain that everything has to be filtered through. And that is what gives us the flight, fright, fight reaction. And sometimes it's the freeze reaction. But that preserved us for years. But fear is really fantasized events appearing real. Do you know that 95% of the things we fear never come true? They never come true. And the 4% and the 5% that comes true, 4% is much, much less than we'd ever realize. So guess what? You can face everything and run, or you can face everything and rise. What would you sooner do in a fear situation? To me, facing everything and rising is more important. Don't let that lizard brain take over. Don't let that lizard brain literally demand everything in your life. You're greater than your lizard brain. You have this upper brain that allows you to overcome it.
And you got any tips on how to shift that thinking from the lizard brain to the prefrontal cortex or the upper brain? Like, because some people can get really, like, if they were hit with your scenario, they could just get lost.
The first thing you do is breathe. And you know, Marines, when they're in the field of battle and the enemy is coming at them, firing at them, might kill them, they're taught to do something called square breathing. Now, how do you do that? Well, you breathe into the count of four, you hold it for the count of four, and you breathe out to the count of four. By doing that, you change your fear reaction. You change your panic reaction to a mellow reaction. You literally rewire your brain. Another thing is to meditate every day. Third thing is to visualize. You know, our brain cannot determine the difference between a visualized event and a real event. So if you visualize the great things that are going to happen, the beautiful things that are going to happen, if you surround yourself by that, it really makes a difference. Surround yourself by people that are positive and love you. Surround yourself by a positive environment. Stop watching the news. You know, news is bad news all the time. Sure, then people say, well, I won't keep up. And I say, what's wrong with that? You know, do you really want to know what happened yesterday? Because that's what news is, what happened yesterday. Or do you want to keep your mind on the future? Reminds me of a little boy that decided to make some money during the Great Depression. So he decided to put on a hot dog stand. So he first started a hot dog in a bad location. One of the drivers bought one and said, you know, move to the main road. That's where everybody is. So he moved it to the main road and everybody was buying at 5 cents. So somebody said, these are so cheap. I'd pay 10 cents for them. So he started selling them at 10 cents and he wasn't making enough. So he sold them at 25 cents. And then he raised it to 50 cents and people were still buying until somebody complained. And he said, do you not know there's a recession on? I said, a recession? What's that? I can't read. You know, really, we put these own limitations on ourselves every day. You know, we have this box around ourselves, these little limitations we have. But really, our own reality is much greater than that. You know, our reality is as great as the room you're in. It's the great as my room they're in. It's as great as the great universe out there. And if you conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. That's what Napoleon Hill said. If you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. You know, those things are the magical things. Those are the things that truly make it happen. And you have to believe these things that can happen and know that they can happen. You know, I think that's what everybody should do every day. Get to the point of believing in yourself, knowing yourself. And I know you're going to fail around along the way. You know, failure is a great thing because it teaches you the things that aren't going to work. You know, Thomas Alva Edison, when he was inventing the light bulb, failed thousands of times. And he didn't look at it as a failure. All he said is, I found another thing that didn't work. Now, isn't that amazing? Saying, I found another thing that didn't work. And he kept on plodding forward. And he invented the light bulb. Now, his light bulb was very primitive compared to the light bulbs we have now. But look, that turned our nights into days. That allowed us to do things much greater than just being determined by nature. Now, that is a very positive thing. And you know, that's how the first computer was invented, because it was just an on switch and an off switch. So you have off and on. And that's how these circuits would come. Off, on, off, on, off, on. When you put those all together, that was the first computer.
Neil, today with quantum computing, we can have off and on at the same time.
So, you can have it on. You can have it vibrating. You can have it in waveform. You can have it any way you want it now. You can have it liquid, solid, all at the same time.
Absolutely. I was just thinking around that whole thing around belief. And I think as you go along in life, you've got more, I guess, understanding of, you know, when you've overcome hardship and adversity and you step through it. And so you start, like, it's like building a muscle in a sense. But I'm thinking, if you're young, then you've encountered less adversity and it can be a bit more difficult to believe in yourself that you'll overcome it. Whereas I guess as you become older and wiser, you've had more opportunity to. Well,
and that's why I love talking to students in schools. That's why I love talking to them before all these false beliefs come on. This is why I love talking to all groups of people, because you can change those beliefs. You know, I just spoke at the University of Peace in Costa Rica. That's a UN-sponsored university. And I spoke to some of the 180 people of the greatest people that believe in themselves, but that believe they can change the world. And those are the beliefs we have to engender. If you can, you know, how do you change the world? One person, one thought at a time. You basically stick those all together and you make the world a better place.
Would you advise someone that's young, that's encountering hardship or difficulty, to seek like a mentor,
I would say mentors are the greatest things. You know, everybody in their life has had a great teacher that taught them and showed them the way. And everybody should have a mentor. I've had thousands of mentors in my life, but read books. Read ravenously. Books are your best friends. Try to read a book a week, because they teach you things you wouldn't know otherwise. They are truly the greatest power on this planet. All that knowledge there, that is just right there. You should read at least 10 pages a day. At least 10 pages a day. You need to move that forward.
Yeah, that education or empowerment through education is a key center stone to overcoming victimhood.
Listen to podcasts. Listen to shows like yours. Listen to shows like mine. Make sure you spend that time so that you can learn from the greats out there. People like myself are giving this time to you. Check out my website, drallenlenka.com. That's D-R-A-L-L-E-N. L, Y as in yellow, CKA.com. And I'll give you a golden pearl each and every week. If you sign up, that's a gift to you. Check out my book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. There are 13 golden pearls in there that teach you little things, little lessons that you can take home and use tomorrow. You can unpack those things and just make them something for yourself.
Fantastic. And I'll include those links in the show note, listeners or viewers. So please go to the show notes and you'll be able to get those resources at your fingertips.
And if you need a speaker for your event, I'm available. DrLSpeaks.com. I speak on resilience. I speak on tenacity. I help board members. I help workers. I help stop the quiet quitting epidemic that's going on. I help management, and I help the worker refine themselves in their place. I've been certified as a Jack Canfield success coach to help everybody on their path. So just to make sure everybody has a path to take, I'd love to show you that path and let you know that path. It's right there. You have to just discover it.
100%. I really appreciate your time, Dr. Allen Linker, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And you've provided such wisdom and insights into overcoming victimhood and how to reach into and, you know, tap into that empowered state. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Anthony, it has been my pleasure to be here. You know, I love the people in Australia. I love the people down under. I've only been there once, but it was an amazing journey. I've been to Sydney. It truly is amazing, blessed place, and people should take advantage and enjoy that area.
100%. And if you're ever down this way, please say hi, and I'd love to catch up with you.
I would love to. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. And to the listeners, please share this with others that you believe that could really benefit from the wise words of Dr. Allen Linker, who shared his insights around his journey and how he broke free of victimhood and really lives such an inspirational and empowered life today and empowering others. So he's now passing that on. So please share it with others that could really benefit from his wise words. And thank you once again.
Thank you, my friend. Peace.
Podcast disclaimer. This podcast and any information, advice, opinions, or statements within it do not constitute medical, healthcare, or professional advice and are provided for general information purposes only. All care is taken in the preparation of the information in this podcast. Connected Wellness Proprietary Limited, operating under the brand Me and My Health Up, does not make any representations or give any warranties about its accuracy, reliability, completeness, or suitability for any particular purpose. This podcast and any information, advice, opinions, or statements within it are not to be used as a substitute for professional, medical, psychological, psychiatric, or any other mental health care or health care in general. Me and My Health Up recommends you seek the advice of a doctor or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Inform your doctor of any changes that you may to your lifestyle and discuss these with your doctor. Do not disregard medical advice or delay visiting a medical professional because of something you hear in this podcast. This podcast has been carefully prepared on the basis of current information. Changes in circumstances after publication may affect the accuracy of this information. To the maximum extent permitted by the law, Me and My Health Up disclaims any such representations or warranties to the completeness, accuracy, merchantability, or fitness for purpose of this podcast and will not be liable for any expenses, losses, damages, incurred indirect or consequential damages or costs that may be incurred as a result of the information being inaccurate or incomplete in any way and for any reason. No part of this podcast can be reproduced, redistributed, published, copied, or duplicated in a form without prior permission of me and my health up.